This episode of the Stage and Story Podcast is sponsored by the visionary and award-winning Lifehouse Theater in Redlands, California. Visit lifehousetheater.com to purchase tickets or find out more about how Lifehouse has been serving the Inland Empire and beyond for over 25 years.
We as humans cannot shake this haunting sense that someone is holding us accountable. I mean, I'm trying to be C.S. Lewis like there because I feel like he would say something like that. But that's kind of like what you see, I think, in Thanos, is that there's this little crack. There's this little doubt within himself. And I don't know if that he's acknowledging it, but everybody else can see it. That maybe you're not on a good train. It makes you wonder, too, if like his whole philosophy will eventually crumble on itself, too. But we have to wait for the next movies.
You're listening to the Stage and Story Podcast, a show about story, culture, and imagination from a Christian perspective. I'm your host, Dane Bundy, president of Stage and Story and chaplain at Lifehouse Theater in Redlands, California. On today's episode, Pastor Brandon and I talk about Avengers: Infinity War. In this movie, the Avengers unite to stop the evil Thanos, who is trying to collect all six Infinity Stones. If Thanos gets the stones, he'll have the power to snap his fingers and destroy as much the human population as he'd like. I don't think that you have to be a comic fan or a superhero fan to enjoy this movie. We're reviewing this film because of the philosophical and theological questions that it asks. But I just also want to warn you that we spoil this film big time. Before I play the interview, I wanted to clarify a couple items. There's a time in the discussion when I ask Brandon what type of story he thinks this film is, and I mean something very specific by that. I then give him three options. The film could be bent, broken, or whole. So let me define for you what I mean by that. A bent story is a story in which good is portrayed as evil and evil as good. I want you to think of the Ocean's 11 films or the television show Breaking Bad. A bent film makes you root for the bad guy. Now, a broken story is a story in which good is clearly distinguished from evil and evil from good, but in the end, evil wins. I want you to think of any movie in which the bad guy wins in the end, but you feel like justice is lacking. A whole story is a story in which good is portrayed as good and evil as evil, and in the end, good wins. So The Lord of the Rings is a great example, or any film in which the good guys are victorious. Now, if you've seen this film, Avengers: Infinity War, I'm curious what type of story do you think it is? We answer the question about 10 minutes into the podcast, so you'll have a little time to consider the question. All right, here's my discussion with Brandon. Enjoy. Okay, so Brandon, what did you think of this film? Just first impressions.
First impressions. Action.
Action.
My wife asked if it was going to keep on being such a fast-paced action film throughout, and I said, probably. So
did you tell her?
She gave up halfway through because that wasn't her thing.
You should have said in Act 2 and 3, they actually all congregate to a coffee shop and just really discuss their romantic feelings. Maybe that would have kept her.
Yeah, well, it was actually my first Marvel or DC. Well, that's not true. I saw Spider-Man and Batman, but it was a lot of backstory I didn't know, but fortunately the story within this film can stand on its own enough that I really enjoyed it.
I want to first talk about some of the religious imagery that I saw in this film. There's actually a good amount of it. And then I want to talk about what function it plays in the film. This is the very first scene, and we don't even see the character's face, but he has already started speaking, and this is Ebony Maw. He has that you remember, that kind of that narrow face, kind of looks like a fish or a salamander or something. So Ebony Maw is talking with Thor, and Loki is there as well, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, "Hear me and rejoice. You have had the privilege of being saved by the great Titan. You may think this is suffering. It is salvation." I don't know about you, but my mind immediately went to like the Psalms. And that sounds like something like a praise that David may have, you know, written down. And here's this language of, you have the privilege of being saved by the great Titan. You think it's suffering, it's actually salvation. And this concept of salvation is something that's brought up all the way throughout the film.
You know, it actually strikes me right now as the way the Romans conducted their politics. You know, the Pax Romana was peace and prosperity, but it was brought at the cost of anything but peaceful means. And when a new Caesar took the throne, they sent out the evangelists to go proclaim the good news. Hey, hear ye, salvation has come. A new king is in charge.
That's really good. And Psalm 34:2 reads, let the oppressed hear and rejoice. I think also the language of Thanos is constantly referring to his subjects as his children and him being the father. And he definitely sees himself as this savior. And when Thanos is getting one of the last stones, the soul stone, the figure who has been cursed to guide people around if they're trying to search for the soul stone, he says that, quote, the stone demands a sacrifice. In order to take the stone, you must lose that which you love, a soul for a soul. So here we have this theme of sacrifice being woven into this film, and Thanos is required, if he wants the soul stone, he's required to give up the one thing that he loves, and we're a little bit in suspense as to what that is, and we find out that it's actually his daughter, and Gamora, and he sacrifices her. It's a pretty emotionally moving, frightening scene, but he sacrifices her so that he can then get this soul stone, and he ends up getting it. When Wong, this is Doctor Strange's sidekick, this is a little bit further in the film, he's talking about the origin of the universe, which really is a, in my opinion, a religious topic. And he gives an explanation for how the universe and everything came to being. And he says, at the dawn of the universe, there was nothing. Then, boom, the Big Bang sent six elemental crystals hurtling across the virgin universe. And those six elemental crystals are space, reality, power, soul, mind, and time. That really stood out to me because this is giving a context for how this Marvel universe came to being and what governs it. And so the Big Bang, that is the framework for how this universe came into being. That might come back, and we might want to talk about that a little bit later. But those are some of the religious things that I noticed. Did you notice any others, or did you notice some of those too?
Indeed, yeah. Especially the sacrifice and what it costs him, the idea of salvation, totally agree. I think it's a very you say there's a lot of religion here, but it's not necessarily the way we would see it. I find that sometimes helpful to see, okay, I've been told forever, like, Jesus is salvation, and this is what it is. But sometimes it really helps to see an example of what it is not, because then you can really appreciate, wow, we have a king who uses his power in a very different way than most of the so-called heroes use their power. And so it gives me a deeper appreciation for what salvation really is.
Brandon, let me ask you this. What type of a story would you categorize this as? A bent, broken, or whole story?
Broken.
Broken story.
Undoubtedly.
Okay.
Because evil wins, at least what we define, the viewers define as evil wins.
Yeah. How did that ending surprise you?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's why.
Yeah, tell me.
Because when I sat down to watch it under our agreement to do this film... I, for some reason, remembered you recommending it as a whole story. So I'm watching in great suspense, wondering, how are they going to pull this one off? And then it ends with half the people dying. And I'm going, I'm going to amend this to broken. It was strange.
So just for our listeners who would like it spoiled for them, Thanos gets all six of the stones. And sure enough, he snaps his fingers, and half of the population turns into dust. And that might even be a religious image, too.
For your dust, into dust you shall return.
Yeah, there you go. Did you like that this story was broken, or how did that make you feel?
I made me feel it was, well, actually, to be completely honest, watching some of the heroes and just random people disintegrate into ash, or if that's what you want to call it, there was a moment of awe. It put life, it put that, and at least in that universe, life into perspective in a very interesting way.
And I totally agree. And what's so strange is this is a Marvel movie.
Made me marvel.
Oh my goodness. And, but it's like most Marvel movies, you know, the good guys end up defeating the villain and you leave and you're like, oh, there's popcorn stuck in my teeth. And then you move on, right? But this one, yeah, I had that same emotion. It had that same emotional effect on me. And when I was done, it caused me to think deeply about it. And not a lot. I mean, I've seen most of the Marvel DC films, and rarely do any of them make me think or even feel deeply. But you're watching Spider-Man fall into the arms of his mentor,
yeah,
Tony Stark, or Iron Man, and basically, like, at his emotional devastation because he is dying. He's disintegrating, and Tony Stark is trying to give him words that it's going to be okay, but then there he goes.
And as you're seeing, and the film definitely slows down and takes its time to show who's disintegrating and who's not. I found myself searching for a reason for who is selected and who isn't.
Okay.
But it seemed to me that there was no rhyme or reason. It was completely random.
And I think you're right, because I remember Thanos saying that his choice would not be based on, it would be totally random.
Randomization.
Not based on wealth or.
But I found that interesting in reflection that here I am watching death, watching this senseless rulership, and I'm trying to search for reason. And I think we tend to do that in tragedy. Yet in this universe where evil's ruling, and I don't know if the filmmakers are trying to say something with this or not, but there really was no reason. Things just are, and they're random, and the universe can be ruthless. We're just dust anyways, right? And back to the whole universe just came out of nothing, and there's just these stones. And yeah, I don't know if that was kind of part of the intention, but that I found that interesting, searching for reason, but then discovering, wait, no, why are they going? No, they can't go, and just kind of the sense of tragedy.
And that's a really insightful point, because what I see the Avengers is trying to do is bring meaning to this universe that they exist in, or at least they're existing in light of the idea that there is meaning. Love is taking place. Wanda is in love with Vision, and Vision is in love with her. And none of the Avengers, none of the characters that we're rooting for, look at the universe as if it has no meaning, right? They're fighting for something. They're fighting against Thanos because they believe that they have value, that they have meaning. Otherwise,
yeah, why is it worth all this pain and suffering to resist him when, yeah, okay, whatever.
You're right. We are dust, and there's no reason to be here, and it's all, you know, product of the Big Bang.
So what do you think that reason is that they're fighting for, living for?
I think that they have a biblical perspective of life. I think that the Avengers see value in the innocent. I think they see value even in the wicked. And I think that they're driven by this morality that is really, I think, a Judeo-Christian morality, that there's meaning in the universe, and that what Thanos is doing is wrong. And I don't mean in like a relative, subjective type wrong, but like an objective sense of he with a big capital W, he is wrong. Even if everyone in the universe besides them think that he's right, they are still going to fight for the idea that no, he is wrong for wanting to kill innocent lives. Which is interesting to me because of what you just said a moment ago, because of this universe that is a product of random chance. And I say that they're actually borrowing the Christian worldview because I wonder. So here's my question. Do you think that the Avengers really have a strong argument or a philosophical ground for actually defeating Thanos. So just a little context, Thanos, he is trying to bring salvation to the world by removing half of them so that the universe can sustain itself.
Yeah, he sees the problem is overpopulation.
Yeah, and so he's taking care of it. But in a universe that is random and a universe that is created not by an intelligent being, a personal intelligent being, but by the Big Bang, do you see that they have like a real grounding for wanting to defeat Thanos?
That's a great philosophical question that I didn't spend a lot of time thinking along those lines. Do they have reason? So it's interesting because you say that it seems that they possess a reason within themselves. And it seems to be something that mirrors that which Christianity gives us. But yet in the backstory of how the universe came into being, that story doesn't exist, right? So I think they believe they have reason. But the question is, does the universe as it's described in this world actually give grounds? And it would seem like it almost doesn't. And it almost wants to, I think that's why it's so haunting the end with people disintegrating into ash and dust, is because it almost is that resounding exclamation point of like, yeah, maybe there isn't a good reason. And I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I almost feel like the film is meant to feel hopeless like that. And it's a critique against people who run the world seeing it as nothing but dust and ash and randomness.
So you're saying that this film is trying to critique that random, meaningless perspective of the universe by kind of jarring us?
Mm. Okay, yeah, that's or maybe showing us the fruit of it.
Because that's a great point, because that's exactly the effect that it had on me.
Me too.
As it ended, I am now thinking, well, Thanos was being very logically consistent.
Hmm.
And that is a terrible ending. And the Avengers, I totally agree with what they were fighting for. You can't wipe out half of the population who are innocent just to save some. There's a very big difference between what Thanos was doing and the idea of personal sacrifice or laying your own life down for a friend, as the Bible talks about. There's a difference between that. So I think that's why this story, this particular Marvel story, which is broken, in which good and evil are very distinct, and in the end, evil wins. And there's not even really, I'm trying to think about the ending, there's not even really any hope that things are going to change. I saw the trailer for the new one, and there's a little bit of hope. But I thought, in a matter of speaking, they were kind of brave. Because I remember talking with a friend, and he brought his son to see the movie, and his son was completely like emotionally destroyed from watching this movie. I mean, it because these were these characters that this boy had come to love, and now he's watching them disintegrate. I wonder if it's also an interesting correction of, we get very used to seeing people die on screen. But this was very different. As we watched these characters disintegrate into dust, it wasn't like, oh, bye-bye type of thing. We were like, whoa, like what is happening here?
I think that was one of the most powerful scenes that I've seen in film in a while. Just thought-provoking, captivating. There was suspense without anything really happening. It just had you holding your breath.
So if I could then return to what that question I originally had, I do think that this is a movie, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about the filmmakers, but this is a movie in my mind that really argues for the persuasiveness of Christianity and the importance of coming up with a grand meta story that provides meaning for human existence and provides value to human lives, because if we take the logical conclusion of even the Marvel Universe or many of the scientific explanation of the cosmos being brought about by chance, it doesn't provide a logical grounding for meaning or morality or anything like that. So in many respects, this film reminds me of the need for the Christian worldview and its just really its persuasiveness.
I would agree. I would definitely agree. And there was a, you mentioned how Thanos was willing to sacrifice others for his goal rather than himself, which the Christian worldview has our leader sacrificing himself. Like you said, very different. And I want to come back to that actually. But there was a moment, and I just wrote down the words that were said. I don't remember who said what, but I believe it's addressed to Thanos. And he was asked, "Did you do it? Get the stones." And he said, "Yes." "What did it cost you?" And he said, "Everything." And it's very clear that he was burdened by having to sacrifice his adopted daughter, Gamora. And that was a burden he carried throughout the rest of the film. Which made me wonder, okay, yes, Thanos is operating on this cold, hard logic that nothing really matters. At least life doesn't matter. Yet he's really there seems to be a moral weight on him for what he's done.
Which makes me ask, is he even being consistent with his own position? So like in one sense, he's following this cold logic.
Yeah.
But then he's also, like you just said, working from this weight of what's right. And his cold logic leads him to see, you know, these innocent lives are worthy to be destroyed. But then he also has this real love for his daughter. And it makes me think, can you even if you believe the universe has no meaning and there is no morality, is it even possible to live that out consistently? Or are we constantly betraying that view that we supposedly have?
And I think that's the problem, is that no matter what philosophy we adopt and no matter how logical it is or how ardently we argue for it, we as humans cannot shake this haunting sense that someone is holding us accountable. I mean, I'm trying to be C.S. Lewis-like there because I feel like he would say something like that. But that's kind of like what you see, I think, in Thanos, is that there's this little crack. There's this little doubt within himself. And I don't know if that he's acknowledging it, but everybody else can see it. That maybe you're not on a good train. It makes you wonder, too, if like his whole philosophy will eventually crumble on itself, too. But we have to wait for them. Next movies.
Yeah, and so if we were to go back and watch that ending scene where he kind of foretells that his plan is to snap his fingers and half of the population to be destroyed, and then he wants to sit and watch sunset.
I don't recall anymore.
The sun, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks to me like he's not super excited. It's almost like he feels like he's weighed the moral obligation on him and he's done what's right, even though he didn't like it.
Mm.
That's almost kind of like
the martyr. You know, he acts. Yeah. He does not seem to have any empathy for the viewpoint of others. And he has created. So it does seem like he does have a sense of right and wrong, but he's created it according to his position in the universe. And this is actually very much what the serpent does to Adam and Eve when he says, look, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God, which needs definition, because being like God's not a bad thing. It's what we strive to be like. But be like God in the sense of the ruler and the judge of what is good and evil, right? So that's tempting to everyone. And I think in big or small ways, we all take a bite of that. And want to decide, no, my actions were right because I think they're right. I called them right. I think he's your typical, he's standing in for Adam and Eve in a way, just taking that decision to the extreme. And it's interesting that his name is Thanos because that's actually the root word in Greek for Thanatos, which is death. So here we have the root of death. And actually, that's what God said, is in the day you eat of it, you will surely thanatos. Well, it was in Hebrew, but you will surely die. And so here we have death doing what it does.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this death. Here we have this image of Thanos sacrificing his only daughter for humanity. My mind goes to John 3:16.
Only son.
So as a pastor, if I was a young person and I were to ask you, like, what is the difference between what Thanos does?
Yeah.
Because clearly the film wants us to believe that he truly loves his daughter. And I'm convinced that he really did love Gamora. But what is the difference between God the Father sacrificing his only son for the world? And why, I mean, we have no problem as Christians thinking, hey, he did the right thing. But clearly when we watch Thanos, we're like, you sacrificed your child. That's horrific.
I don't know that a lot of people would see a difference, to be honest. You hear phrases thrown around, especially around like atheists, that the gospel is divine child abuse, and other forms of the same argument are thrown out. But what we see in the Bible is a very different angle in that Jesus voluntarily went to the cross, right? He gave himself up. It wasn't the Father, you know, strong-arming Jesus off the cliff or onto the cross, but Jesus, yeah, he struggled with it, but he ultimately made a free will decision. And that's something that Gamora, Thanos' daughter, did not get to do.
How might you place this film on the scale between one being very beneficial, and if we take the Trojan horse mentality, bring it within the gates, all the way down to four, very sinister, keep it outside the gates and destroy it?
If Thanos was portrayed as someone to imitate, it would be very dangerous.
Yeah.
But he's not.
No.
So even though it's a story with a horrible philosophy and horrible actions and it's broken, I would say that as long as the viewer is aware of this, it can be a very beneficial film in what it can teach you. So with that disclaimer, I would encourage it.
Yeah.
I would bring it in.
Okay. I would say, I'd put it between one and two, very beneficial and somewhat beneficial around there. And it kind of does depend on the audience. But I think that one of the things that this film makes it so interesting is that this villain is really compelling. And I read a lot about how people have said this is one of the best villains that they've seen in the Marvel or DC films, because he is really fleshed out as a character. His motivations are very clear. He is moving from his philosophical assumptions, and he's working from there. He also has a very humanness about him, especially when we see him deal with Gamora, which, if we're not careful, making a villain that is very compelling, that can be a dangerous thing. Because when you talk about Star Wars, most people will think Darth Vader is awesome. Mm-hmm. And you know, and they joke about it, but they're drawn to his coolness. Because I think maybe why they're drawn to his coolness is because he's a little bit of a caricature. But in this film, Thanos is not. He is really fleshed out. And I think because of how it ends and how we see the pain of what he actually brings upon these people, I think that these filmmakers have hit a great balance between creating a very compelling villain that we don't want to emulate. And so that's why I would rate it between one and two, is because I don't think there's going to be a lot of kids running around saying, oh, get me those six stones because I want to snap my fingers and destroy half of the population, right? Whereas you see kids all the time, and I would like to do it too, run around in their Darth Vader costumes wanting to fight the good guys.
Yeah, Brittany and I even joke when my son Atticus is coming up the stairs breathing because he's got snot in his nose, breathing all heavily, like, here comes Darth Vader. Like, I wouldn't say here comes Thanos. That would be awful.
Yeah. And then once again, that's why I think this film stands out among the other Marvel films.
I think one of the reasons I would also say it's beneficial is because this can become an excellent teaching tool for what Christ is. In fact, I'm really kind of inspired to maybe for some future message down the road use this in relation to Jesus's temptation in the wilderness. Because one of the things that happens, right, is Jesus comes out of the Jordan River and his mission's made clear. You're my beloved son, right, in whom I'm well pleased. First thing the devil comes is he tries to give him alternate routes to salvation, right? easy routes. And so some have described it as bread being, look, give the people what they want and control them that way. Then the temple jump off, using religion to control the people, or politics being the third temptation with all the kingdoms, use politics. And these are all ways that people have historically chosen to have power to bring salvation. But Jesus refused these because he had a new way, a different way. And in short, the devil doesn't come to us, right, with a pitchfork and red tights and saying, hey, why don't you sin? He comes to us in the form of a good idea. And that good idea is what we see littered throughout this movie. And that is the idea that the end will justify the means. But that's what Christ had to say no to every time the devil came to him.
As I reflect back on this film, a lot of this would not have been accomplished if the filmmakers weren't brave enough to make it a broken film. So as we wrap it up, Pastor Brandon, do you have any final thoughts?
No.
No.
I shared them. The wilderness temptation. We're all going through that question. Does the end justify the means? Thanos thought it did.
And I would just say, listeners, keep engaging culture with a Christian perspective, even movies. Hope you guys are doing well. Enjoy life with Christ.
Hey, friends, thank you so much for listening to the Stage and Story podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast. And that'd be great if you could give us a rating and share this episode with a friend. If you want to find out more about Stage and Story, please check out our website at stageandstory.org. You can also subscribe and be notified of upcoming events and free resources to help you think about culture with a Christian perspective. Until next time, this is Dane Bundy wishing you a wonderful week in Christ.